This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kanasan and you're listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Today in the studio, I'm going to be talking about PRS, the Private Retirement Scheme. This was started in 2012 by the government as a way to encourage people to invest for their retirement beyond just EPF. Now, I'm going to talk about whether do we really need PRS, and beyond just the tax reliefs, what are the other advantages? And to help me do that, I have in the studio with me Ng Zihao, Head of Retail Wealth Distribution at Manulife Investment Management. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Roshan. You can call me Z. I'm from Manulife, yes.
Let's just start off with, why do I need a PRS if I already have EPF?
Okay, that's a very good question. Actually, PRS complements EPF. EPF, with its basic requirement savings of 240,000 ringgit now, imagine if you retire at the age of 55 and you go on to the age of 75. The Malaysian's life expectancy can go up to 72 or 77. So you will be retiring without job, without income for the next 20 years. So even if you have a basic savings from EPF of 240,000, if I use that as a benchmark, you probably can go on for 20 years, and that is provided 1,000 ringgit spending for a month. So we complement each other, and PRS is actually voluntary. It is flexible. It is for your own needs. It is basically what is your numbers for retirement. So to me, it is not a matter of what accounts do you have. It is how much do you have and what's your number for your retirement.
See, I understand what you're saying, but in the same breath, if I wanted to, let's say, save more money, I could just put more money into EPF. I think the maximum is 60,000 ringgit a year. So how do you differ from EPF?
Well, that is a very good question. So what we do in PRS is we advocate self-discipline. You know, a lot of people think that they need to lose weight and look good. But the fact that not everyone is doing it, it is not easy for when it comes to investments and saving, that people do it on a very disciplinary actions. You know, to do it regularly, to do it, to sign up for it, and to put aside a money and emergency fund that you will never touch it. So PRS has got this advantage that you won't be able to withdraw unless you meet the requirement, such as you reach the age of 55. So that differentiates a lot more other investment vehicles out there.
Okay, but that still sounds a lot like EPF.
Maybe I can give you a perspective in terms of the industry numbers.
Sure.
In the industry right now, PRS has got 450,000 accounts, 3 billion ringgit asset under management. So PRS started over the last 8 years. So I think it's gaining traction. People are opening up their accounts, they are doing regular savings, and that's why it's a 3 billion market right now. Yes, of course, you can do it for EPF, but there are also a segment of the public out there. Example, self-employed. Do they really do it? Do they do it enough? As I said just now, these complement each other. And at the end of the day, it is, what is your retirement number? 1 million, is it good enough for you? 1 million is good if you are spending 4,000 ringgit a month for the next 20 years. Otherwise, you've got to accumulate your savings in one way or another. We don't think one size will fit all. In fact, you need to have some diversifications, some private asset managers come into play.
Okay, one point you made that I really agree with is that if you don't have EPF, if you're a freelancer, if you're a Grab driver, if you're in the unformalized economy, this is where PRS can be important, because having it locked up away until 55 makes it compulsory that you have to plan for that. You have to put that money aside and you can't touch it till you're 55. And that can be very helpful for people. I just find it very difficult to reconcile it between if you already have EPF, because that's already money locked up.
Okay. We even have corporates contributing EPF to their employees, and they actually contribute PRS to their employees too. And PRS can be used as a vesting vehicle to actually attract and retain talent. So if an employee worked for 5 years, after 5 years, the PRS vested up to a certain amount, then they can walk away like a long service award. So conditions can be designed. So this one more advantage that PRS can be used for corporates.
So could you break that down? Because that's interesting. So what you're saying is the corporate works with the PRS service, maybe like yourself.
Yes.
And they come up with a vested service. So if you work there for 5 years, you get this at the end. But it's locked up till you're 55.
Yes, it is.
So it's that's an employment benefit, I guess.
Yes, it's employee benefit. Yeah.
Let's talk about the biggest, the biggest thorn in the PRS side, which is fees.
Yes, okay.
All right. I know a lot of people don't charge sales fee, which is a big deal. But there are still providers that do. And then there's the annual fee of, I think, 1 to 1.5%. Can your returns justify that sort of fee structure?
Okay. You ask a very good question because performance is also fees related. Our year-to-date performance for our PRS funds range from 4% to 6% net of fees. In our range of products, we have got a conventional aggressive product, a conventional moderate product, and a conventional conservative product. And the same goes, we have got the three core funds in our Sharia compliance range. So within the PRS funds, we have got Class A and Class C. Class A is for investors who come in without any sales charge and subject to an annual management fee. Whereas we have a Class C that investors will come in with a one-off sales charge, not more than 3%, with a relatively lower annual management fees. But if I look at the historical track record, our performance, at least we need to beat the fee, we need to beat the inflation rate, we need to outperform the fixed deposit, then it makes sense for many more PRS investors to come in. In fact, we have just launched two products. One is Asia Pacific REIT for PRS. Another one is a Sharia Global REIT for PRS. That performance is outstanding. Year to date, our Asia Pacific REIT has delivered something like 18% for 2019. So that is quite good.
Now, that's very interesting. And I personally am a fan of REITs. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But I want to ask you about two things. Now, you said a relatively lower fee if you've paid a sales charge. Do you have a number for that? Or at least a ballpark figure?
Yes. The difference could be about 30 basis point difference.
And this is for Class C?
Yeah, for Class C, about 30 basis point. So if you are going for Class A, the difference and the in terms of annual management fees versus the Class C, 0.3% difference per year.
All right, and that can be quite a difference when it comes to long-term compounding.
Yes, absolutely.
And let's talk about, do you benchmark yourself against EPF when it comes to returns? Earlier this year, I think EPF gave 6.15%. The year before, it was 6.75. Do you have a benchmark to beat EPF?
We are still very investment-driven. So for our benchmark, we actually use indexes, uses performance returns more than comparing it versus another provider, especially the pension funds. We think it's of different nature, and we think the objective is fairly different. So what we want to do is we want to consistently talk to our investors, talk to our PRS customers, at which time you go aggressive, at which time you go moderate, and during different period of time, you deploy two different strategies, and that is how you maximize your returns.
So from what I'm hearing, the difference between you and EPF is the degree of control that I have over my money with you. I can go aggressive, or I can go moderate, or I can change the funds.
Yeah, it's flexible.
When it comes to returns, you were talking about just above 4% to about 6%. Which funds are we talking about here? Let's say towards the 6% and the higher end of the range.
Okay, so we have got the aggressive, moderate, and conservative. I was just referring to year-to-date performance. There will be different periods that the funds outperform. There will be different periods that the fund underperform. I mean, this is still very much managed like an investment product. But the beauty is, you know, you choose your funds, you choose your portfolio basing on your profile. For this year, I think given most of our funds are invested in Malaysia, and Malaysia has been a volatile period over the last 1 to 2 years. So we are quite satisfied with what we achieved now, but of course we can do better. And that's why we introduced 2 new range of funds, is to give diversification, is to give more choices and flexibilities to our PRS investors.
And we're going to talk about a few of those funds, actually. We're going to talk about the REIT funds. I'm quite interested in that.
Sure.
As well as competition you're facing from the digital investment managers as well.
Sure.
And we'll be back in just a little bit to have that conversation. This is Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, thank you for staying with us here on Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, I'm speaking to Ng Zihao, head of retail wealth distribution at Manulife Investment Management. Now, Z, we've been talking quite a bit about fee structures and the why you should invest in PRS, why shouldn't you invest in PRS, all these different factors. But I want to talk about right now REITs. For those who are unfamiliar with what a REIT is, could you break that down for us, please?
Sure. Let me introduce briefly about REITs. REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. It's basically properties managed by a group of professional property management. And they list their property in the stock exchange for investors like you and I to invest in it. The moment you own a piece of REIT, you are co-owner, you are joint owner of that property. And in Malaysia, a lot of people are fairly familiar with REITs because a few of our shopping malls, they are listed in the stock exchange as REITs. So if you have invested into the REIT, you are the joint owner. So in return, what you get is the rental income, the yield that is paying out to you, and also the capital appreciations. So for REITs, you have got the best of two. You have got income and you have got growth. And in REITs, we are talking about a very diversified quality portfolio of REITs across Asia Pacific and global. It's lowly correlated to other asset class like stocks or bonds. Is quite unique by itself. Stable returns in the form of dividends because of the rental yield is always quite consistent. Yeah.
Basically, a REIT is your way to invest in property without buying a single piece of property.
Sure. So for individual, you can go ahead with your single story, with your bungalows, and you can go through your sales and purchase agreement, pay your stamp duty, engage a lawyer. But we are referring to someone professionally taking care of the properties, looking at the locations, looking at the tenants, and it's a very well-diversified REITs we are talking about here. You know, it can be retail malls, it can be big office blocks, industrials, hospitality, residential, and healthcare. We even have new commerce REITs. Example, when we talk about the clouds is not up there in the sky. The cloud is basically having a data center. That property infrastructure can be listed as REITs for us to invest into. Not only that, we have got telecommunication towers. You know, we invest in US REITs. That is pure telecommunication towers. So ask yourself, would you like to own 200,000 towers, for example? So that is new e-commerce.
So it's exposure to property itself. So an example, let's say if you buy Sunway REIT, you have exposure to the income generated by Sunway Pyramid, Sunway, and all the other Sunway malls.
Yes.
So you've diversified across that horizon and also an exposure to the retail sector in a big way.
You have just quoted a Malaysian example that is very good, but we are going Asia Pacific, we're going global.
So when you look at Asia Pacific, what are the other, what are the other hot spots for REITs? Where are you investing in your REIT funds?
In Asia Pacific, we are quite concentrated in Singapore, Australia, and Hong Kong. Whereas in the global space, of course, we are more skewed towards the US. REITs in US are very matured, they are very established. We also like Australia, and also we underweight Europe because of whatever is taking place in Europe, and we currently overweight Asia. But we are concerned on the Hong Kong situation too. So, you know, we pick and choose.
Okay, so now I want to end this by talking about just the competition in the field, because a big part of PRS is talking about that commitment, that discipline to saving up. And also the tax relief is a big part. I think it's 3,000 ringgit a year of tax relief that you can get. Now, without that tax relief incentive, because we don't know how long that's going to keep going on, that's pretty much on an annual budget basis. Do you think that PRS can compete with things like that? You know, we've got a lot of new digital financial services coming out, like these robo-advisors. Those services also provide that monthly or weekly deposit, that self-discipline. But the difference is I can withdraw from that.
Okay, let me give you my perspective. I can start by saying, by giving you a real-life example. The two new REITs fund that we have just launched, we actually bundle it with free insurance. And the reason why we do it is we want to do the best for the Malaysian community. So if you are invested 5,000 and your asset with us in the two funds are 5,000, we will cover 5,000 for you. So in case anything strike, you get back your 5,000 and we insure you for that 5,000. So this is something that we are blending because we understand the market. And if you talk about robo-advisor, basically it is active investment management versus the passive version. Robo-advisors are basically quite automated investment process. They use computer algorithms, example, to manage investment is very passive. Of course, you highlighted the right things. You highlighted that it is also convenient. It can be very low balances. You can get in and out anytime. In Manulife, actually, we have got 2,500 financial advisors. And all our financial advisors are professionally trained. And they are trained to do one thing. You know, they actually go to the customers with a model reference portfolio. So we don't go out with a single solutions. We go out to the investors with a portfolio of solutions.
I want to talk about the bundling part. So if I invest in the REIT fund, I get insurance coverage. Now, what is that coverage for?
Okay. So for our Asia Pacific REIT, we cover dollar for dollar for TPD and death. So total permanent disability and death. For only balances or asset under management, 5,000 ringgit and above. For our Sharia Global REIT, we actually cover 4 times group PA. So there's a slight difference in the two product and the two insurance coverage.
And is the coverage sum equivalent to the how much I invest or is that fixed?
It's the current AUM that you have with us. So just another example, if you have 10,000, with us on that day, and it's 10,000 insurance coverage or Takaful coverage for you on that day.
So it seems like that is the advantage that you have over the digital investment managers, the ability to bundle services, because they're pure play growth. Whereas you seem to be able to merge a few of your services together.
Yeah. So we have identified a new asset class. Property is something that's a physical building. You collect rentals. And you have got retirees who believe in it. And we now identify insurance coverage as another element that is important for our customers. So we actually bundle it and package it as overall solutions for our PRS customers.
How important is this 3,000 ringgit tax relief to the ability to market and sell PRS?
I think it's good as a first talking point because for someone who has got a tax bracket of, let's say, 25%, 3,000 itself is 750. So that is a good starting point. But, you know, you and I understand this. We need probably 1 million, depending on your lifestyle, you know, what you expect, quality of retirement to fund your retirement funding. So 3,000, is it enough or not? You know, I was just speaking to someone else and I say, it is not just about retirement, but it's also very important to retirement, to retire gracefully, to retire with quality. You don't want to retire to become someone that is dependent on your sons or your children to support you further.
And do you have a ballpark figure of how much someone needs when they retire comfortably?
I think if you need a monthly expenses of maybe 5,000 to 8,000, to continue with your lifestyle, a ballpark number of 1.5 million, 2 million in today's ringgit, I think you'll be quite appropriate.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Z.
Thank you so much.
I was speaking to Ng Zihao, Head of Retail Wealth Distribution at Manulife Investment Management. Now, this was Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. And if you've got any stories or suggestions or questions that you want to ask us, please send us an email over at ringgit@bfm.my. Up next is the 10 a.m. News Bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanasan, signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Ring It In Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.